Thinking about working for yourself? Already doing it? The Trouble with Freedom podcast is all about real people talking about real experiences and answering real questions. None of that guru stuff here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Trouble with Freedom podcast. I'm Lisa Hartwell in the UK, and over in the Australian bush in her mud hut is Alison Reynolds.
Hello.
And drinking a cup of tea. Very British.
Yes. I am. A green tea with, jasmine.
Okay, maybe not so British.
Drink some flowers. Yeah, well, I'm off the milk, so. Otherwise, I'd be on Twining's English Breakfast.
So what have you been up to this week? Busy week?
Very busy week. I have been doing, I'm trying to lay it all out. Let's talk about the app. The app is so close to release. Next week, it's definitely going in the app shop. I've got a final release that came through last night, so I have to test that this morning, see how it all goes. So it's all doing what I want. And the Android version is coming along just swimmingly. Android has a lot of different functionality than the iPhone, and not having an Android phone, nor actually even having seen one. Yeah, I'm having to imagine it all. So I've got a friend who I've said, okay, you're going to beta test and explain it all to me, which I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but we'll see how it goes. So that's coming along fine. The people who are going to possibly invest in it are also having a quick look at it over this weekend. So we will see how that goes. I'm in the midst of setting up a teach people how I did all this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be a spin-off from that from next mobile phone project, which is something I'm doing with Casey Stevens. She came up with the idea for the app and she approached me. So we'll be doing that. And then while we're doing that, there will be this live look over our shoulder kind of dealio, because I think a lot of the education that you get out there is sanitized. It's like, this is what I did, and it all worked out perfect, and nothing ever really works out perfect, and they never go into the ins and outs and the difficult bits and what's difficult and what's not. So looking forward to that. Oh, what else did I do? Putting solar panels on roofs and all sorts of other stuff.
I mean, as you do.
Just, there's as much work as you want to make in a week-long stint. So, and I think people, if they follow me on Twitter or in my Facebook page, they can see that every day I try to focus on a different project that I've got going and do major tasks out of that. So some of them are pretty diverse and some aren't. So some are really boring. Like Sunday is backlink day, so that's where I do the actual backlinks myself for things that you don't want Filipinos trying to have a go at. So blog commenting on specific blogs and things like that, catching up with other things. Yeah, it's been a very productive week for me. How about you?
Very busy. We obviously had another long weekend last weekend. So Friday, Royal Wedding Day. I partied pretty hard Friday and Saturday, which isn't like me. So Sunday was then major recovery session. Monday, even though it was a bank holiday here, I was so pleased to just sit down and get on with some work. I can't stay away for too long.
Yeah.
I do actually like my work a great deal. So I'm quite pleased to have a couple of days off and then get back into it. So Monday was very productive. And then I've been working on a project for my brother. And actually, that's going to fit in perhaps a little bit with today's topic. So worked a fair bit on trying to promote his new website and his eBay auction this week, particularly last weekend and Monday particularly. And then this week has just gone really quick because I got a last minute call to go up to London to do a voiceover job. So I was up in London all day Wednesday. So then the rest of the week has just sped by. And my dad's got rushed into hospital. So, he's fine, we think. So I didn't need to go up there. But obviously there's been lots of phone calls and text messaging and, you know,
yeah,
all that going on as well. So, yeah, it's a crazy, crazy old week.
Sounds like the pair of us.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, just in case people are listening for the first time, Trouble with Freedom, should point out, is a podcast that kind of takes a very honest view of being self-employed. So if you're thinking about leaving your job to work for yourself, or you already are and you're kind of looking for a bit of moral support and a bit of help in certain areas, then that's what Trouble with Freedom's all about. We don't gloss over the bad bits, but we obviously love what we do as well. So this week we are talking about family. Well, friends and family from yes. different aspects of dealing with friends and family.
Absolutely.
And I would probably, I was trying to think of the different things that feature in this particular topic. There are a few, and there's kind of the not getting what you do, not really respecting what you do in your time because they don't get what you do, not being very supportive. That depends on the person. Some people get a lot of support from their families, some people don't, particularly if they think it's not a proper job. And also the I need a website, or I need a voiceover, yes. I need so-and-so done. And how much work do you take on as favours for your friends and family as well?
So do you want to start with your example from this week then?
Let's go there. I'm a walkover when my friends and family say, oh, I really wanted to set up a website about this. What do I need to do? Could you do it for me? And if they say that, I am just total. I'm putty in their hands. Actually, they are quite respectful about it, I have to say. I've done two websites for my mum's churches. My mum's a church minister and she had two churches. So I've done websites for both of them. She now has just the one church, but I keep the other church website updated for them. My little sister wanted to know how to create blogs, or wanted to know how to use WordPress, and but she wanted to learn, so you know, she didn't want me to do it for her. So she's actually gone through that course I set up for the Secret Women's Business Network when we had the paid members forum.
Yep.
That course she's gone through. So now she's got a website set up and it's looking good. My younger brother, this is the one I've just been working on. He'd mentioned was it Christmas he mentioned? It might have only been February. He mentioned that he really wanted to boost his eBay business. He's been selling on eBay for many years, very good at it, very successful with it. But all he has is an eBay shop. He doesn't... Mm-hmm. have any way of promoting it outside of that, and isn't very web savvy at all, doesn't really understand social media or how to use a website and all that sort of thing. And he just he was offered a huge private collection of this particular item he sells. And I don't want to give it away because I don't...
Yeah, no, I know.
He works in a particular area of antiques and vintage items. And he was offered a huge collection, very collectible items. And he wanted to do a really big auction, you know, get them all onto eBay as individual items at the same time, 10-day auctions, which end tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew when he wanted it set up. So the last time I saw him was right at the beginning of April. I think by that point I'd done the keyword research for him and set him up a basic site. But at that point, he suddenly went, I want to do the auction on this date for 10 days. And so I had less than a month to really get some interest in this site, which, you know, I took as a challenge. And mm-hmm. And took it on board and, you know, did quite a lot of work and probably will write something on the SWBN blog about exactly what I did to get, you know, some rankings fairly quickly and get some interest for the auction. But more importantly, he now has a website that and other, you know, social media vehicles and stuff that he that will now be of value to him in the future as he tries to build that business, because it's not his primary business. He works with in the social worker type arena with very mm-hmm. difficult children, which unfortunately there's been a lot of job cuts, and so he doesn't know if his, you know, he will always be able to do that. And so he would quite like the option of being able to do this full time if needs be. So that's what I've been working on. So I guess
I don't have the same issue with people asking me for websites. It's usually me the other way around going, you know, I see individual talents or businesses or things that that people are doing around me and in my family. I go, you should blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, how do I do that? And then it does come down.
I think particularly if you are billed as a web designer or you are a web consultant or whatever, and that is your main area of expertise, I do think it's, you do get approached a lot. And I've heard this from other people, you know, with friends who've got failing businesses and suddenly they think that you can pull a rabbit out the hat for them at the last minute. Even not close friends, I've had acquaintances approach me and basically want you to do a lot of stuff for nothing. You know, there's usually the line, I haven't got any money to pay you, but I need this, this and this. And I think that's where it's a very tricky area.
Because there's those social norm type expectations that family and friends somehow you can survive on air because they're asking you to do it. Mm. But, I mean, it works both ways too. I mean, you can look for the opportunities in doing it for them, but you have to be really careful and sensible that, you know, even lawyers do pro bono works. And I've seen a couple of posts floating around the last couple of days that are, that's it, I'm never, ever, ever, ever giving advice or doing anything for free again. And I think that's, again, going probably a little too far one way. Mm. Otherwise, people just go, well, you're a prickly pear, I'm not going anywhere near you. But then there's the other way too, where if the majority of your the stuff that you're doing is for free for other people, that's not going to work either. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there's a reason why lawyers charge per the hour and piece of paper.
I think, I think it depends who it is, how much they expect of you, how much you can manage those expectations. If they are looking for you to save their business in 3 weeks, with your web skills, then you've got to tell them that that is not going to happen. And also it's how much ongoing. I think people don't realize that it's more than just setting up a website. It's either you have got to train them to do this, or you have got ongoing work for however long they need social media, website updates and all that sort of thing. You know, you really do need to manage that and decide and explain to them, I love you very dearly and I would like to help you, but do you realise that this is going to take X hours and that's time that's taken away from me actually earning a living?
Yeah. And they'll find that very hard and very confronting. Mm. And then there's the type, I mean, that you say, okay, well, I mean, it's not the 3 weeks because my business is going down the loo, but it's, I need a website, rah, 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 and you go, go to the 30-day challenge and just do it. You know, you can do it quicker than 30 days if you want, and it's just not going to happen. You know it's not going to happen, and then when it doesn't happen, you just wonder how much they expected of you to, you know, to do the work for them. And it's all well and good setting up a website, but then there's the ongoing thing, which I think is, as you've mentioned, is just as difficult and probably more time consuming. And especially if it's something that beyond the family connection, you're not really interested in either. So, and doing business with family comes with its own set of issues.
Exactly.
It's never do business with friends or family, which is why I hate Lisa. Oh, dear.
So you wouldn't do business with me?
No, never. Partnership? No. Gosh.
Never. No.
Never.
Because Allison and Lisa are hip with the social media thing, the podcast has a Facebook page and Twitter account. Tweet them up on TTWFP. And check out Facebook by searching for Trouble with Freedom and hit the like button now.
Let's skip on to my bugbear with this. And this is when we're talking about family and friends. And this is to do with if you're in the situation that I was in where you leave work. And it doesn't... for me, it didn't really matter that I had worked from home a great deal and that I also spend probably 99.6% of my time on the computer anyway. Well, actually, that contributes to it too, I think. If I was the type of person that was only on the computer only when I was working, then when I became full-time working on the computer... it would have been recognised that every time I sat down, I was doing work.
Sure.
And when you have a partner that also is on the computer all the time, who isn't working on it, is on the computer for pleasure, playing games or on the internet or whatever, when the time comes that it may look like you're on Facebook, but you're actually updating pages and creating ads and doing a whole lot of other things, trying to get through that just about all the time that you're on the computer means that you're working and that you don't want to be disturbed, or that disturbing should be for important issues, not just wandering in, sitting down and starting to talk. And it's setting those boundaries and whatever, and the communication that needs to go into that is quite difficult. Was for me because it was a surprise. It was a surprise for me. I just felt that doesn't he know? Can't he see that I'm working? And it got to the point where it's like, look, sat him down and said, look, for the time that I'm working, and yes, I'm working longer hours than I did before, and yes, I'm on the computer for more than I was before, but that's because I'm trying really hard to get some things happening. If you keep walking in and starting to talk to me about amps and that's electrical amps, or where you should put something at, you know, and something particularly that I don't have very much interest in, I'm going to answer in a very negative way, which is like, can't you see I'm working? Which, of course, you can't. It looks no different to talking to friends or playing games or whatever. There is no difference there. So basically, if my door is closed now, and even that's difficult because the cats come scratching, they're in a lot, right? But if the door's closed, it usually means that I'm recording and don't want to be disturbed, or that I'm working on something that I really, really need to concentrate on, which is a shame. I didn't really want to cut myself off from the rest of the house, but just as a sign. Otherwise, what do? Have a red light or something?
Well, that's what we do in voiceovers. The red light.
That's right.
I think that's it. And I think there's a lot of people who obviously have kids as well. And I think you have to lay down the rules and stick to them. And it's as much on you as it is on them. Because if you have this rule and then suddenly you're like, oh, yeah, pop in, let's have a cup of coffee when you should be working, then the line that you've drawn suddenly starts to fade again and everybody becomes a bit relaxed. Couple of things that I think work. First of all, have a space that is solely your work area. So everybody knows if you're sitting at that desk or in that room that you're there to work, and make it clear that that's your work area. I'm the same as you. If I don't want to be disturbed, my door is closed while I've been, you know, doing a lot more of the online stuff. I've been living alone. So I don't know who it is I'm telling when I close my door, but I do have a lodger, and you know, she knows that if my door's closed, then I'm probably recording or I just am deep into something and I don't want to talk. And the other thing is, I suppose I just touched on that don't change the rules. It is a case of don't expect people to know when is a good time to disturb you and when isn't. If you sort of chop and change all the time about those things, then you can't expect other people to know when's a good time to say, do you fancy a coffee? And when's a time that they should be leaving you alone?
Yeah. And that's it. It's just because you're there doesn't mean you're available. And it's all communication, I guess, like anything else. When you're dealing with humans, it's all, you know, communicating and trying to do it in such a way that you don't alienate everyone, but also that they understand that you're serious about what you're doing. And that's the difficult thing for people to understand when computers for them or working from home from them seems like such a lark, and you know, you can do whatever you want whenever you want, and you know, oh, why not skip down to the cafe for a coffee? There's you know, or why not just drop in because you're not really doing anything that is you know, it's not really of value. It's
it's
they can't see the cash coming in.
I have to say as well, I do notice a difference between, like, I've got a friend who sometimes he works from home. He works for the National Health Service. When he works from home, nobody would even think about saying, oh, do you fancy popping out for lunch? Do you fancy popping out for a coffee in the middle of his day? You know, he is working from home. Whereas, you know, I've got certain friends who would give me a ring and say, hey, pop into town, we'll go and have a coffee. Now, I have allowed that to a certain extent in that I don't necessarily work the same hours as other people. So I've got certain friends, if they did say to me, oh, I really fancy meeting up for a coffee, will you meet me in town? I might take a couple of hours off during the day, but those friends also know that if I'm in the thick of it and I've got stuff to do, that I will just as easily turn around and say, no, I've got, you know, too much work on. So I do make allowances myself for the fact that I am self-employed and have some flexibility, but it is, people do view that self-employment as being very different from somebody working from home, but for a company.
Yeah. And that's true. And the thing about it all, I think, is that because you're giving out, basically, when you look at it, you're giving out mixed signals because you can get up and walk away. And in fact, I'm sure the same conversation goes through your head, Lisa, as mine, is that this is the reason why I work from home, is so I can get up and go to a cafe whenever I want instead of being tied to a desk and someone making me clock in and clock out. So that would
you do choose that flexibility to an extent, and that's why a lot of mothers who have chosen to be sort of work from home, they do arrange their work day so they can actually have a lot of family time if they want, and they can sort of drop everything to take the kids to the park if need be. They have to make that time up somewhere else, but you know, that is one of the benefits of being self-employed.
Exactly. But I guess from the outside, that just looks very confusing. So, it, again, like I said, it comes down to communication. Make sure that the people who want some of your time or attention understand that some of the time you can't do that.
Trouble with Freedom Podcast has a mailing list, and you should be on it. Go to the webpage, troublewithfreedom.com, and fill in the form to get exclusive content and announcements.
What was the other thing that we were going to talk about?
About them not getting what you do, you know, not supporting you because they don't think that what you do is a proper job.
Yeah, not so much for me from Ian, because I think he understands that what I do, I mean, he certainly leaves me to it. From other friends and whatever, I'm sure they've had the probably because I've joked around about it too, but have that sort of, you know, you're just playing at whatever you're doing. But again, I think most of the circle I move in, I've got friends who have left and started their own businesses. And I think in the IT world, it's sort of understood because everyone seems to have something on the side. So they're less, you know, weird about it. I think, though, the actual nature of the whole internet marketing or the marketing side of things is still seen as pretty wishy-washy, woo-woo, yeah, whatever. You can, you know, just wave your hand, like social media marketing or something like that. People look at it as not really a real thing. It's just the latest thing to grab some cash before you go off and do something else. So I think there is that kind of attitude in the back. What about you? What are you?
Well, I was just thinking, actually, do you think people see the hype online with the, you know, I work from the beach, just do a couple of hours a week and make all this money? Do you think that's them looking in at you and thinking, well, if he can do it, that must be what you're doing as well? Or why aren't you doing that? Therefore, you're not really working that hard doing what you're doing. I mean, that doesn't apply to everybody because a lot of my family and friends have no contact with that internet marketing or make money online world. But, you know, you do wonder if some people just think, well, all these other people are working a few hours a week, driving their Ferraris and got a lovely big house on the beach.
Yeah.
Isn't that how easy it is?
Yeah. I don't know if they see that, but they might see the ads, you know, housewife makes $75,000 an hour or something like that and somehow equate it. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you and I are probably so far into the in crowd, you know, into the people that are really doing stuff rather than the wannabe types that.
I know, like, I've got two different perspectives with what I do, like the voiceovers, because I've done that for years. Actually, even before the voiceovers, when I was in radio, my dad used to say to me, so when are you going to get a proper job? And I'd be like, this is a proper job. What do you think I'm doing? Just playing? I think part of the problem is, of course, that people see, my family see, I love what I do. I don't think my dad thinks that if you enjoy your job, if you enjoy what you do, you can't possibly be actually working, because he did the hard slog, you know, for minimum wage for most of his life. So, you know, very different perspective on work. Voiceovers as well, the number of times people would say to me, so what exactly is it you do? And I try and explain, well, you know, if any piece of audio that you hear a voice on, whether it's on the telephone, whether it's radio, television, training videos, anything like that, that requires a voiceover, and therefore that is what voiceovers do. And you just draw blank looks most of the time. And I went up to London this week to do a sort of follow-on from this recent TV commercial I did, and we were chatting about it, and it was a very high profile, you know, got really good TV airplay on like ITV, which is one of the main terrestrial channels here, and Channel 4 and that sort of thing. And I said, this is the first time, even though I've done TV campaigns before, this is the first time that lots of people have seen and recognised that it's me. And I said it almost justifies the past 13 years of my life, my working life, because finally everyone's like, that's what she does. And I think with the online stuff, to be honest, I blame myself if people don't quite understand what I do, because I don't explain it very well to them. Because most of the time you're coming from the perspective of they've got nothing to hang it on. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They've got
no basis
knowledge. So I can remember many years ago when I was doing 30-day challenge one year, and I was talking to my brother about it and telling him the information product I'd created and was selling, and he's kind of got a bit more of he's a teacher, but he's definitely got that kind of entrepreneurial spirit, and he could really see the possibilities in this information product idea. And his wife, she is also a teacher, and she has a hobby. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Just let you all, you know, imaginations run wild. It's something that's very British, but the Americans absolutely love it. And she actually had gone to America to take part in a festival of this thing. And
okay.
Dan, my brother, was saying, do you know, there's an information product in that because it's so popular in the US, but not many people are experts on it. He was like, and his wife was an expert, but also knew an awful lot of people who you could interview, talk to, and that sort of thing. And I was like, well, I could look into it and do some research on it. She just wouldn't have it. She just completely could not grasp the concept that somebody might pay to listen to her interviewing or listen to me interviewing experts, including her, on the subject, that they would pay for that. She just couldn't see where there was an opportunity there. It just didn't even cross her mind that anybody would pay for an information product on this topic. And so it just fizzled out. You know, we didn't get take it any further. I'm not going to pursue something if you know, it's going to...
Yeah. I think that also comes down to, well, not also, but I think that also touches on one of the family and friends issues that comes up for people, which hasn't come up for me, probably because I've sort of been entrepreneurial my whole life or doing crazy things. I remember my mum actually saying to me one day, she goes, oh, you do these most amazing leaps of faith sort of stuff, and it always seems to work out for you. Of course, no one sees the back-end hard work. But it's that fear of, like, they're trying to protect you. You know, some of the, you hear a lot of people saying, oh, you know, you got to disassociate yourself from friends and family because their fear, they project their fear of what will happen to you when you're working for yourself, and probably not so much for you as well because you've been supporting yourself. But if you're moving from one stable employment into something more entrepreneurial or working for yourself sort of thing, there is negative pushback, and all you'll hear is all the negative things. You know, what if you can't end up on the street? And
yeah, there's a lot of fear there. I think there's a lot of, particularly perhaps couples who one of them has, and I don't want to say it's just the male who's been working in a highly paid job, but because it's not necessarily, but obviously if a woman's stopped work or only doing part-time work because she's looking after the kid, they've had kids, the fear of your partner suddenly not having that full-time income coming in and you wondering, I mean, I think there's a little bit of selfishness in that the partner probably thinks, I won't have everything we've got now. You know, I won't have a lovely house, lovely car, be able to go on more on holidays and, you know, the kids go to a nice school. There's that side of it of, you know, I won't have luxuries. But I think underneath it as well, there is that fear of, what if it all goes wrong?
Yeah.
What if not only do we lose that income, but this business doesn't take off and we have no money coming in?
Yeah. I think also that's the biggest one where you probably would sit down and talk about, well, what's the very worst that could go wrong and make sure you've got contingency plans in place. And that's where if the people closest to you, if that stuff is invisible to them, even if you've got it written down and you're like, okay, well, I've put away X amount of money, you know, I've got X amount of time and I've got this regular gig coming in which will cover all our bills, so anything else is just gravy sort of thing. If they don't see that's the case, well, they're going to be terrified. And it's making it clear to the people around you that, you know, you're going to be all right. I mean, there are people out there that obviously do the stupid thing, just ditch their job, and sometimes they make it and sometimes they don't, but I would pretty much think that the majority don't unless they're super motivated and super organized already, you know, have something there. There's no point chucking your job in if you've got nothing to go to. And I would never, ever recommend that. But there's also that fear of when you're in a lifestyle and you understand the problems that come up, you understand that every quarter that your electricity bill is a struggle to meet, and you understand that in summer your air conditioning, your power bill goes up or whatever, and you understand all of those mundane issues that go with it, that the fear of the unknown type issues when you move out of that into something new becomes terrifying, where you can't imagine what the problems are, so they've got to be terribly they've got to be awful problems. I don't know what they are, but they've got to be, you know, it's the monster under the bed type of thing. You don't know what it looks like, but you know it's got to be there, because you've got to be scared of something. And I think people fear for you for that, because they can't imagine what the actual problems could be. So they put themselves in your position, and they're comfortable in their I won't say rut, but I mean they're comfortable in the situation they're in. And no one likes change, apart from me. But
and me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of the entrepreneurial type spirit. If you enjoy chaos, if you get off a little bit on things slightly out of control, even though you know that you can pretty much handle everything, but being slightly out of control, you know, for those people that aren't like that, that is just the most terrifying thought in the absolute. The whole point of life as an adult is to get yourself into a comfortable position where all the problems that you've had before, or you can handle. Whereas I think definitely for myself, I love having problems that I've never thought about suddenly pop up and then have to work through it. I mean, it doesn't mean I'm not terrified at the time, and I hate, you know, I feel bad and like anxiety and all the other stuff that goes with it, but I'm not going to avoid it. Your family and friends will be trying to protect you, but it's no reason to avoid them. It's a reason to show them how prepared you are for those sorts of things. And, you know, they might bring up something that's quite valid if you're the type that has dumped your job for no reason with no fallback.
I'm sure. I mean, I know that my family have been worried about me and feared for me over the years for various reasons. Obviously, when I lost my voice and things were pretty bad, I'm sure that in the back of quite a few of their minds, they were thinking, why doesn't she just go and get an office job? Why doesn't she just go and do a proper job? Just, you know, what, you know, she can't talk, she can't do voiceovers anymore. She goes on about this internet stuff, but why doesn't she just go out and get something secure and get a pension and, you know, all that sort of thing? If she was on PAYE, then she would be getting sick pay at the moment, and, you know, it wouldn't matter so much. And I'm sure that those thoughts went through their minds because they cared about me. But also, I do know that because they've said to me at various times, they know that I love what I do and I love this. And actually, they know that the worst thing for me would actually be to go and suddenly be working in an office or working in a bank for a regular paycheck and having to answer to a boss. They just know that isn't in me to do. Thankfully, over the years, they've kind of learned that that's my character. While they fear the idea of being out of work or giving up their job for whatever reason, or when redundancies come around, they go into a blind panic, because that's the life they know, and they like that security. So many of my friends like that, love that security. They also know that I kind of thrive a little bit on leaping headfirst into the unknown and having certain prep things in place so that I don't totally fall flat on my face, but that I'm not, I'm just not the same, and never will be.
That's one of the things that drives me insane about my kids too. I for both of them, like, you guys, you've got the opportunity to do whatever you want to do. Sit down and do this stuff with me, learn how to do it, and then you'll never have to go work in an office or whatever. And my daughter, who's just ringing me now to say happy Mother's Day, but I'll just ignore her.
Happy Mother's Day.
Sorry, Kelsey. Thank you. Neither of them at this stage, I have to keep telling myself, at this stage in my life, at their life, wanted to take that up. And I think it's because they saw that, you know, I had a quite comfortable, and I've said it before on my blog, so it's no big deal, but I was in a six-figure plus day job where I would turn up to the office maybe half a day a week. and not do very much. And of course, I mean, that's got to be really, really attractive to people. Mm. But I mean, the pair of them have come out with this work ethic where they both want to work in an office. God knows why. God, I have no idea why. Oh, and Kelsey just loves it. And my son, being male and whatever, wanting to feel useful, so he did a fair bit of education as well, but has also gone into a like an office type job, well, in an office environment anyway, and his is actually in a call center environment, which just geeks me out. Yeah, the pair of them are like, no, we just want to get the paycheck and then party for the rest of it. And I'm thinking, well, all I can do is be a good example for them at this stage on. You can go and do what you want to do, and you can swap one lifestyle for another, despite my daughter always saying, you know, you abandoned me, which is a joke of the film, because I did run away from them. I don't understand how they can't see how good this is, but again, their priorities are to, you know, have a good time, because they're both quite young. Have a good time, and maybe sometime down the track they'll see that they have the potential to be whatever they want to be. But yeah, but it just drives me insane. And they don't listen to this podcast, so
that's fine.
I'm fine saying this. Or I'll get another phone call in a minute.
It's same with me. I've pointed, apart from one sister, and that has no inclination to do anything like this, but the other sister and my two brothers, I've pointed them all towards, at the time it was 30-day challenge. You know, if they wanted to learn how to do this, then the best thing they could do would be the challenge. And they've all accepted that that's what they need to do if that's the way they want to go. But they've also, all for various reasons, declined to do it. And I think that's the most you can do, is point them in that direction and say, well, the opportunity's there if you want, if that's the way you want to go. But if not, then I've done what I can do. Yeah. And then, yeah. I mean, I remember seeing Jason Moffat on Facebook one day saying, if anybody's in a particular area and has any work, my brother's looking for work. He's been out of work for a while, but he's willing to do just about anything. And of course, most of Jason Moffat's followers on Facebook started going, why aren't you teaching him what you're doing? Oh, you know, and almost making it out that he was depriving his brother. It was his fault his brother wasn't working. His brother should be doing what Jason does, making plenty of money, and he was depriving his brother of that opportunity. And in the end, Jason came back and said, actually, I've shown my brother what I do. I've discussed it with him. It's just not in him to do it.
Yeah,
he is not, this is not, and that is the point. And I think that's where there is a lot of cross wires and confusion and people not knowing or not thinking that you do a proper job, is because they just can't wrap their heads around it. It's not who they are. So
they
can't grasp the concept.
Yep, that's absolutely right. And you can't change them either.
No. And you shouldn't, in the same way that you don't, they shouldn't try and change you. It's...
Yeah, well, they do try.
They try sometimes, yes. No, I can't. Put your tummy right up. Put your tummy right up to the microphone.
Next time I will. It's like, rah. It's breakfast time. That's why.
I think this is a subject we've probably barely touched on. There's probably all sorts of people listening thinking, but my family do this, or I get really negative vibes from certain friends about what I do. So I'd really, really like to hear what problems people have come up with family and friends. And also if anybody's got any tips on how to deal with them as well. It'd be great to hear from people.
So I look at families like Cheryl Locke's family. If you don't know Cheryl, look her up on Twitter and Facebook. That's Cheryl with an S. It's crazy spelling. And that's LOCH. And Cheryl's family, they're all doing their thing. And that just amazes me. I love the look of that. But I'm sure Cheryl has also had, outside of her immediate family, issues or people telling her, you know, you're crazy, or the whole family's crazy.
Well, we all tell Cheryl that she's crazy. I mean,
well, we all know she's crazy.
She is crazy. That's for different reasons.
Yeah, that's right. But
it's true. I mean, Cheryl's got a daughter called Kate, who her biological father, she does say that he's not even on the computer. He has no idea about computers. So it just makes me laugh that, you know, she says that and yet her and Brad and Cheryl are just full on internet marketers.
And it's, I guess, from our point of view, that seems like, oh, that's an awesome thing. But I can understand that Kate's father just going, what the, you know?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of weirdos.
Why is a daughter working at McDonald's or, you know, going out and getting a proper job? Why is she blogging about American Idol?
I just want to clarify, there's nothing wrong with working at McDonald's or whatever. It's just that for my kids and for other kids that I know, I see so much potential. You know, they're very smart and they're very computer savvy or whatever, and they'd rather just answer the phone, like, okay.
And I think there's a difference as well that, and it's something that I've seen through my working life, is that there are some people who are happy to do any job as long as it pays their bills and gives them a life outside of work. They'll work during the day, they'll work the 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 and get their paycheck, and then they don't want to think about work the rest of the time, and they live for their holidays and their days off and things like that. And then there are other people who, and I class myself as one of these, who absolutely love what they do and can't imagine doing a job that they don't love. If I had to go and just do a 9 to 5 job just for the sake of a pay packet and hated what I did, I would wither and die. I just couldn't cope. And the whole point of, like, last weekend, Friday and Saturday, caught up with some friends, partied, had a great time. Sunday kind of relaxed. 3 days off, I was gagging to get back to doing some work because I really enjoy it, you know. So I think there is difference, and you can't change people. You can't change people's personalities and, you know, what makes them who they are. Obviously, there are very different personalities, and the world wouldn't turn if it wasn't that way.
That's right. And I mean, I've had to work in jobs that I haven't enjoyed, and I could do a whole different type of podcast on how to, if you're working in a job that you don't enjoy or you have to for circumstances, reasons, make that job more enjoyable. But, you know, in the end, it's our type of personality and your family's types of personalities and whether they can deal with it. But all you can do is keep explaining, this is what I do, and stay out when the door's closed.
And it obviously helps if you can actually show you're making money at it and making a living at it.
I mean, it makes me laugh with that, is that we have to prove it. But there are so many people out there that are in a normal job that are really struggling. They don't have to prove it. They're just like, oh, yeah, well, that's just life. That's just the way it is.
Call us. Call us now. Call TWF Podcast on Skype and leave a question or message with your details, and we will answer your question in an upcoming podcast.
If you want to comment on today's show, ask us a question, leave us a message about what grates the most for you on this particular topic or a topic you'd like us to talk about in the future, then you can Skype us at TWF Podcast. Leave us a message and tell us if you're happy for us to use your actual recording on a future show. You can also go to the Facebook page, just do a search for Trouble with Freedom Podcast. And you can go to troublewithfreedom.com. If you sign up for the newsletter, you'll basically get updates of when a podcast is released. You also get a free download there, a report that Alison wrote, and any other information that we think is pertinent. But we promise not to spam you or do anything nasty with your email addresses.
And I promise that transcripts are coming. I had a transcript done and as a test from someone, hilarious. Well, two things were hilarious. The first one listened to our accents and said that one of us, the second person, who I assume was me, had an indecipherable accent. Well, I don't have an accent. And the second one I've had done is quite good for about 90% of it. But when Lisa says things like mud hut, they've put Murdoch and so I said close, but not close enough.
That wraps up another episode of Trouble with Freedom. Want more of the girls till next episode? Hit up the webpage, troublewithfreedom.com, for the newsletter. Visit and like the podcast Facebook page. And leave them a message or question on Skype at TWF Podcast now.
Maybe it's me, because I've noticed that, you know, the closed captioning on YouTube videos.
Yes.
Everybody's been raving about how much better it's getting. I still get the biggest load of gobbledygook whenever whenever I do a video and try and translate it. Perhaps it just people just don't like my accent. My perfect, beautiful Queen's English accent.
I think your accent is fine. I think whatever digital way they're using to decipher it, though, has no idea, because, of course, they're all an American accent. So.